This is the only live and local morning show in the area. Interesting news, engaging talk, and news that affects you. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Coming up this morning on a Wednesday, my conversation with Pendleton Mayor John Turner and City Manager Rob Corbett. Going to go through last night's Pendleton Development Commission as well as City Council meetings. And we have much to talk about. That conversation will begin right after these words.
It's time to fly. At least we always think it is. The Walla Regional Airport and Alaska Airlines are excited to serve you, our traveling public, and to see all the fun destinations you choose. So purchase your ticket today at alaskaair.com, pack your bags, and have fun exploring. The Walla Regional Airport makes it easy to begin your trip with daily Alaska Air flights to and from Seattle and beyond. And remember, free parking. Fly Walla Walla. It works.
Keeping you informed on local issues. Back to the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Well, good morning and thanks for joining us on the KUMA Coffee Hour. Dan Tessman, your host. This morning I'm joined by City of Pendleton Mayor John Turner and City Manager Rob Corbett. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning.
You guys had a busy evening last night.
Well, on the third Tuesday of each month, Dan, the Pendleton Development Commission, our urban renewal organization, meets prior to the City Council. So it always goes, you know, from about 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. It can be kind of a long evening. But last night, was we got a lot done. We've been working for a number of months now, about 8 months, on trying to figure out how to revise our score sheet to more adequately reflect the priorities that the PDC has on making grants. And now that we move from a monthly grant cycle to a quarterly grant cycle, this becomes even more important. And I've been very impressed by the work that Charles DeKnight and Julie Chase put into this, along with the advisory committee. And they produce a pamphlet. So if you want to get a PDC grant, you can talk to Charles DeKnight. He'll hand you a pamphlet that walks you through the whole process. But the score sheets needed to kind of reflect our priorities a bit. And what are those priorities? Well, obviously, we want more capital investment. So a project that's $3 or $4 million probably is going to get a little higher priority than a $1 million project. We're interested in increasing the property values because that produces more property taxes for the city, obviously. And we're interested in producing more housing downtown, new employment. So if you got a building that's going to employ 10 people or a project that's going to employ 10 people, you're probably going to get a little higher score than a project that's only going to, say, hire one or two people. And then we're also interested in how you plan to preserve the historic nature of the building that you're trying to renovate. So we're looking at your design. And if you've got some landscaping that goes with it, too, you'll probably get a couple extra points for that. So that's what was approved on these new score sheets. But just so it's clear, if you're going to apply for a PDC grant, you have to own the building that you're at. You got to produce a budget and a business plan. You got to show that you've got adequate funding for the project and that it's a professional design. And it's just not something slapped together. And all that will be reviewed by Charles DeKnight and before it would even be scored. So anyway, the PDC listened to the new criteria, thought it was pretty well thought out, and so we approved the new score sheets.
All right. And then also going along with that was a review of the current status of the new borrowing to fund such programs. Rob, tell us a little bit more about that.
So the listeners would be familiar, if they've listened to this show for any length of time, that one of the ongoing conversations has been funding for the Urban Renewal District. Our funding comes from borrowing that we pay back with the increase in property taxes within the Urban Renewal District. And we've been having ongoing conversations with our bank about how best to borrow additional funds to support projects that are anxious to get going, but we don't have the resources to pay for. We have, legally, we can go up to $30 million roughly. I think we're maybe a third of the way there. I think the thought of the Pendleton Development Commission is while these projects are ready to go, we're anxious to help them along the way. So is there any way that we can leverage the revenue that we have to get more money to help support these projects? And so there's been these ongoing conversations has resulted in, I think, where we're at is we initially had just thought about going out and borrowing more money, and the banks kind of set up the plan on how you can do that. I think the latest thought is we want to convert to a revolving loan fund. I don't need to go into the details of that. But it makes it easier to manage, and it makes it easier for us. And then it would make more funds available for us to support these projects. But depending on whether or not that's going to be an agreeable to the bank, the other thing that we were able to get support from the PDC on last night was if we need to, we can go out for a competitive process to see what other banks are willing to do for us. So that might seem like a common sense we want to do that anyways, but we've got a long-standing relationship with Banner Bank. We have an existing loan with Banner Bank, and assuming that we can use the existing relationship to convert what we have into a revolving loan fund, that's the route we want to go. If we can get that with favorable terms, then we'll continue to go down that path. Otherwise, we'll initiate a request for proposals, and we'll start seeing what the other banks can do to help us out.
Yeah, Dan, it's just the real rough figures as we bring in from taxes roughly $1 million a year into the Urban Renewal Program. Starting next year, though, we have to start paying back both the interest and the principal on the $10 million line of credit. So obviously, if we pay that down a little bit this year, it makes the payments less next year. But we're talking ballpark at least $500,000 just to pay off the interest and run the program. It might be slightly higher than that. So now you can see why we've limited our grants to $250,000. We'd like to be able to have enough money to where we could do at least one $250,000 grant a year and maybe some more besides that. But that's kind of the limitations we're going to face for the next couple of years until we pay down this $10 million line of credit, which I think we've paid down $1 million of it already, haven't we, Rob? It's down to about $9 million down in that ballpark.
And then anything to add as far as the monthly financial report with the PDC last night?
Just that it's a slow time of year. We put in monthly financial reports to the PDC so that they're aware of what's going on, and they have the ability to ask questions about any revenues or expenses that come in. And December was slow.
All right, fair enough. Well, that kind of wraps up last night's Pendleton Development Commission meeting. We're going to take a break, come back, and dive into last night's City Council agenda when we return.
Is pain altering your life? Listen to Tom Petter and how the Center for Ozone Therapy in Pendleton has helped him.
I was having some lower back pain. It was a steady ache, and you wouldn't feel like doing anything. And an MRI, x-rays, and all that good stuff. And they were talking surgery, and that was way down at the bottom of my list.
How effective are the ozone treatments?
A lot of days I can go without any back pain at all. I don't even know it's there.
If you suffer from chronic pain, call the Center for Ozone Therapy in Pendleton, 541-276-1752.
Ready to change the colors inside your home? Zimmerman & Company True Value can help you start right. Here's Jeff to tell you more.
Well, the paint selection here is just as good as anywhere else, and we have a color matching machine. We have all the popular color palettes and themes, and we also have knowledgeable people who know what's up to date and what's the popular choice of nowadays.
Open 7 days a week, Zimmerman & Company True Value, a mainstay on Main Street for over 80 years in downtown Pendleton.
Need a ride? The City of Pendleton has you covered. Did you know the Dial-A-Ride Transit van service in Pendleton runs 7 days a week? To arrange your next day ride with Dial-A-Ride, call Elite Taxi Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at 541-276-6476. This service runs within the City of Pendleton and the urban growth boundary, and cost is only $1 per ride. For daily schedules and other transit service the city provides, go to City of Pendleton's website at pendleton.or.us/transportation.
Join Team Wild. Every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., Wild Horse Resort and Casino will have a walk-in hiring event. Come meet their friendly team members for on-the-spot interviews. Wild Horse Resort and Casino has more benefits, including group health, vision and dental, 10 paid holidays, paid birthday leave, paid vacation, employer 401k match, education reimbursement, free meal on shift, and employee discounts. Working at Wild Horse is more rewarding, so come visit Human Resources on Wednesday for on-the-spot interviews and job offers. Wild Horse Resort and Casino, Pendleton.
Heritage Station Museum is closed for the season, but you can still support the Umatilla County Historical Society in many ways. Shop at the Community Thrift Shop on Court Street, where all proceeds benefit UCHS. Or visit heritagestationmuseum.org, and you can become a member, even make a donation right through the website. Follow Heritage Station Museum on Facebook and Instagram for the spring opening date and for upcoming events. Heritage Station Museum, telling the story.
Local news, local issues, from the area's only live and local morning show. This is the KUMA Coffee Hour on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA.
Back on a Wednesday with Pendleton Mayor John Turner and City Manager Rob Corbett. Diving into last night's City Council meeting and the agenda. And the meeting started with, you guys had a presentation from some folks from the other Washington, the Washington, D.C. lobbyists. Rob, why don't you tell us about that?
So the city has had a relationship with CFM Strategic Services for a number of years. What we use them for is federal grant writing and lobbying services, and they come once a year to give us a report on what they've been working on, our success last year, and what we're going to be working on this coming year. The process that they use to develop a federal strategy is they'll meet with the department heads, find out what the needs are, and then they're familiar with the federal programs, and they try to match federal programs with departmental needs. So the one of the things that they reported on this year was the success that we had with the we were able to get a congressional earmark for the revolving loan fund for infrastructure to support housing, which was a priority for us. And then there was one other thing, John, that we got that we were successful last year and on our federal agenda. Do you recall what it was?
I'm drawing a blank, but I will tell the audience that, you know, they've averaged about $1 million, maybe a little over that, every year in helping us out getting some kind of federal grant or legislation passed. So I think the ratio of rate of return is 17 to 1. For every dollar that we spend, we get at least 17 back.
So the coming year, what they talked about, so the federal priorities for us in the coming year are, and these are based on programs that are available. So we try to, again, they're trying to match grant programs based on with the needs that the department has. And some of the needs that we've identified that we think are good matches for the federal programs are we're looking to place a firefighter at the airport. We have Fire Station 3 here. The federal government has a program to assist in helping us with emergency services personnel. And we have clients here who want fire standby services. And so we're looking for a fire, an employee up here at the fire or up here at that fire station. We're also looking at funding for a fire truck, which they explained is highly competitive, and the replacement of AEDs, which are defibrillators, which are very expensive pieces of equipment. We're looking for funding for the Vert revitalization. It's an aged building and in need of upgrades. We also have put in a request through the police department to do a mobile command center. So during large events or during like a roundup or whiskey fest or during a flood event or a wildfire, that would be a place where communications could be located on site to be able to do a better job of coordinating emergency services. Some of the policy items that they're working on for us are the Mackay Creek. We continue to work with FEMA to navigate those processes. And I'm drawing a blank. Can you help me out, John, on some of the other items they reported on?
Well, we're looking for some funding for a snow removal equipment building. So we were successful in buying a larger snow plow that allows us to plow our runways up here at the airport in the time that's required by the FAA. But it's a large piece of equipment, and we don't currently have a building to put it in. And so now it's sitting down in the rain and the snow, and we really need to get it undercover. So that was one of our requests for that. We always have now for, I think this will be the sixth year in a row, we're trying to get major funding for Exit 209. That's the interchange rebuild where 395 goes underneath the freeway at Exit 209 and goes south. And that's identified by ODOT as its Region 5 number one priority, but it's a very expensive program. 5-6 years ago, we estimated that was going to be about a $20 million program. Now here we are 6 years later, cost of doing business, we think it's going to be about a $40 million program. And typically, these RAISE grants, the Department of Transportation grants, don't generally award that kind of money. So we're going to figure out maybe a way to split that up. I don't know. We're strategizing over that. But the nice thing about CFM is they go through and actually read these 1,000-page federal laws where we don't have the expertise to do that. They know the people, the staff members that are in D.C. They know how to work the system back there. I think we're well represented in D.C.
All right. And we're going to take another break, come back, continue our conversation. Stay with us.
Check out our archives, podcasts of past KUMA coffee hours, online at mycolumbiabasin.com.
Looking to the future and developing a plan most times is lost or set aside because of the hustle and bustle of your daily life. Michael Stratton with Stratton Insurance talks about the true versatility of today's life insurance choices.
Yeah, I mean, life insurance can be, you know, purchased for a period of time or for a lifetime. It depends on the goals of the individual. Life insurance also does not have to be purchased for personal reasons. I think a lot of times people miss the value of life insurance for a business or a farm or a ranch. And life insurance can deliver a death-free benefit to help pay transitional costs, estate costs, and taxes. There's products today that will accelerate 40 to 80% of your benefit to you. It's tax-free, in your hand, spend it any way as you want while you're still living.
Stratton Insurance, one responsible source. Follow us on Facebook, see us in Pendleton, Hermiston, LeGrand, The Dalles, and online at stratton-insurance.com.
We must fight fog.
Fight the what?
Fat oil and grease, fog, need to stay out of our drains.
Why?
Fog down the drain can build up over time, cause expensive sewer backup to your home or natural water line, and you're responsible for the expense.
Oh, so fight the fog.
Yes. Always pour a cooled fog into garbage, absorb excess with paper towels, and have sink strainers to catch the remaining food waste. This message brought to you by the City of Pendleton.
Now that cold weather is here, Burns Mortuary of Pendleton would like to remind you to check on elderly loved ones, friends, and neighbors. A visit and a warm drink can go a long way in making sure they are okay in these chilly days. This friendly winter reminder is brought to you by Burns Mortuary of Pendleton, helping families cope with the loss of a loved one for over 90 years.
Let's get back to the area's only live and local morning show, the KUMA Coffee Hour, on News Radio FM 96.5, 1290, KUMA.
Back this morning with John Turner and Rob Corbett with the City of Pendleton, talking about last night's City Council meeting. A couple of bid awards I wanted to ask you about, the Tutuila Sewer Line Project.
Right. So you heard earlier from a couple days ago from Bob Patterson about the Tutuila Sewer Line extension at last night's meeting. The City Council awarded that contract. And so there's going to be a sewer extension project. It was awarded for $276,000 to precision paving. That's going to support a housing project and also put several houses that currently don't have are connected to city sewer. Also last night we purchased a ladder truck. The ladder truck is an expensive piece of equipment that the city owns, and we were able to find that piece of equipment and we're going to lease it at a cost of $165,000 a year over 15 years, but it's a critical piece of our firefighting apparatus, and that was supported by the City Council last night as well.
All right. And then, John, I'm going to skip down for a second, ask you to tell us about this ordinance regarding a provision to regulate RVs in public places.
Well, we have an interest in making sure that we don't have a bunch of derelict RVs around the city, Dan, where people are using them to live in. You know, this is a major problem over in the Portland area or other large metropolitan areas. You see streets lined with these broken down RVs and people living in them. So currently, we say that you can keep an RV in your residential area in front of your house with people in it, say guests from out of town, for up to 14 days. We're changing that to 72 hours. Now, if you want to have guests for longer than that, all you have to do is call the chief of police or Rob Corbett, and they can grant you an extension. The idea is not to penalize legitimate guests, but just to cut back people that are living in these derelict vehicles. So if you want to park a RV out in front of your house and have some guests stay there for a few days, the RV has to be currently licensed. It has to be operable, that sort of thing. So last night we had first reading of this. We'll actually discuss it and vote on it in a couple of weeks in that first city council meeting in February.
All right. Well, and then there was a couple of other items in last night's agenda. Let's see. You had the...
Well, each year we look at our fees. So the intent of the city is to not make money off of certain activities. Somebody wants to come in and get a copy of something, we charge them some minimal fee for that. But we also have a responsibility to make sure that we're not devoting excess city resources to an individual who comes in and says, I want you to research 10 items from the last 15 years at city council member minutes or something like that. We'll do that, but we're going to charge for the staff time that's involved in that. And there's just literally hundreds of different fees, everything from, say, getting a permit to getting something notarized. And each year at this time, early January, we ask the department heads to go through their fees and make sure that what we're charging is at least recovers our costs. And that's what we voted on last night.
And then you also had a Planning Commission annual update.
Yeah. You know, our Planning Commission, both Rob and I were very complimentary to the Planning Commission last night because these guys deal with very detailed issues. It's zoning, it's temporary use, it's provisional planning documents. And sometimes it gets rather emotional in there. Maybe somebody wants to locate a business near your neighborhood and you don't like it, that you come in and tell the Planning Commission what you think. And they try to go by the codes. They try to be fair. They try to promote business without interfering with people's peace in the neighborhood and that sort of thing. So, for instance, they issued permits last year for 299 new housing units, and housing is one of the city's top priorities. They're looking at easements and right-of-way and all those kinds of issues. So hats off to these guys for willing to tackle those kind of detailed decisions.
And Rob, there was also a Transportation Committee annual report.
So the city, there's a payroll tax that everybody in Oregon pays that supports public transportation. The city is the recipient of money from that. It can only be used for public transportation. For years, we've had other revenue grant dollars that has supported the Dial-A-Ride program, the taxi ticket program, and so we've recently expanded to a fixed bus route. And so we get an annual report. There's a committee that advises the city council on policy regarding public transportation, and they give an annual report, and they gave their report last night.
And then there was the annual capital improvement update on sewer collection. That's important.
Right. So again, we have a master plan that we are working from, and each year we give the council an update on the accomplishments toward those master plans. One of our master plans is the sewer collection system. So at last night's meeting, Public Works Director Bob Patterson reported on the sewer master plan and our accomplishments over this past year, and touched upon some of the bigger issues that we've completed. So I think, you know, we have maybe a couple more reports, and then we'll have completed our winter updates.
And kind of off the agenda of the two meetings, there's another project that is being worked on by the city, and that is this flood video. Tell us about that.
So the city staff each winter recently since the flooding, we practice the flood response. We meet and have been meeting, and one of the things that we talked about is how can we better communicate with the public in preparation for the spring runoff. And so we this year have decided we're going to work on a video that will go out and share information with the public on how they can better be prepared for the potential for flooding. And that will be rolling out, I think February the 3rd is the date, and it'll have all, you know, hopefully all the information that they need or might think of needing for in preparation for that.
And I'm going to give the mayor the final word.
Well, Chief Byram, Chief of Police Chuck Byram, gave an annual report too. It's not on the agenda, but he just wanted to alert the council that 2022 had the highest number of calls for service that they've ever seen at the police department. So in the current fiscal year, we added 2 police officers. It's difficult to recruit police officers. Then there's not always a class available at the academy, and then they've got to do field training when they get back. So it could be a year after you hire a brand new non-certified police officer before they could actually go out on patrol. So Chuck reported to us that he's hired one of those 2 new members. And then you may recall that we also got a recent a Department of Justice grant that's going to allow us to hire 2 more in addition to that. So it's a long process, but it's encouraging.
All right. Well, as always, there's always a lot going on with the city of Pendleton, both the PDC and the city council. And I appreciate both of you coming in to run through the agendas and keep us up to date. We'll talk to you again next time. Talking this morning with Mayor John Turner and City Manager Rob Corbett. That's going to do it for this edition of the KUMA Coffee Hour. We'll be back again tomorrow. Have a great day.
On us for local news, sports, and weather. News Radio FM 96.5, 1290 KUMA, Pendleton.